Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, May the 13th, 2014. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Michael.
I am here, dear heart. I am here. I just started talking with the mute button on. So, welcome everybody to the show. We are just excited and delighted that everybody that chooses to join us every day chooses to do so. And the energy that's developing. The show yesterday was awesome. I've been getting lots of feedback on Friday's show. It's like the energy is just going to a whole new level, and we are just delighted to have this space to share these ideas and these principles with you. And, of course, the root of our work, we haven't really reviewed that very much in a little while with all the different things we've had going on in the show, but the root of our work is first century Aramaic forgiveness, the opposite of what our culture teaches. Our Greek-based, philosophically-oriented culture teaches us, you did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me. You, my little baby, my parent, my spouse, you did this to me, and therefore I will take my retribution. Or I'll follow the advice of my church and I'll forgive you. Which, of course, does nothing to change the root of the turmoil of the pain that's inside of me, that I'm blaming my spouse, my child, my parents, my employer, my neighbor. It changes nothing inside of me. So it's time to recognize and call pardoning what it is. If you choose to pardon someone because they've done something off the wall or crazy, that's a wonderful thing to do. But if their off-the-wall behavior seems, and I use that word very carefully, seems to cause pain or turmoil inside of you, don't lie to yourself. Their behavior isn't the cause of your pain or turmoil. The cause of your pain or turmoil is what's inside of you. They have simply been triggered, been the trigger for what it is that's inside of you. And oftentimes they'll be prompted to that off-the-wall behavior by the very energetic patterns that you hold that demands that they do something to trigger you. You know, if you hold a newborn child, you know, we've asked thousands, tens of thousands of people, hold a newborn, describe your newborn. Everybody's answer is the same. It's always some variation on the theme of love. So if we are love, and everybody knows that's where we started, what did we buy into? What did we take on? What was resonated out of our genetics that has us lose contact with that and then blame somebody else because that's what's going on inside of us? If you choose to pardon someone, that's a really nice thing to do, but please call it what it is and then do your forgiveness work. And forgiveness is about how you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. And guess what never belonged in your human energy system? No form of hostility, no form of fear, no grief, no rage, no pain, no drama, no trauma. It's not part of your structure. Pardon me. It may be part of your structure. If you're feeling it, it's part of your structure. But it's not part of your natural structure. It's not how you're designed. We are designed to incarnate and embody this active presence of love. If you want to access the how-to of forgiveness, it will shock you if you haven't engaged in the process yet. It will shock you when you start to see what you have to do to forgive. At first, most people go, this is crazy. This couldn't possibly work. It was interesting. This last week, we had a young man who was at our workshops all week, and someone had shared with him and invited him to come and shared with him what happens and sorting through and what healing looks like. And literally, virtually every day, he came to me just with a terrified look on his face of, you don't have any idea what I went through in my childhood. You don't know what kind of pain I've had. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I mean, day after day, each day, Thursday, he came in with this huge grin on his face. And he said, I actually did two worksheets this morning around stuff that was really deep and painful. And he said, the first worksheet that I did, I had pain that was at a level 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. And when I finished that worksheet, I was at a 2. This works! And the second worksheet, he said, I started it out at about an 8, and it was down to a level 1. And it was exciting, and to go through that is such an awesome experience. And it was so delightful to have him hear that, get that, and be willing to move it. That's the kind of man that changes the world, one who takes a hold of the tools, puts them to work, and goes for it. So we're here to support you in going for it. Whoever you're blaming, stop it. Just stop it and start to recognize if you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. And I'll tell you, that's a lesson I'm still learning. It comes back again and again and again. Every time you want to go, you really frustrated. Oops, I got to stop. I'm the one who's frustrated. I'm the one who's angry. I'm the one who's sad. And it's such an awesome lesson. But go to www.whyagain.org. Hundreds of hours on the topic. Free. Just go download it. If you go to the home page, there's a big bullseye in the middle of the page. Just click the bullseye. It'll open a whole series of links, and those links will lead you into how to actually engage in the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. And there are several radio shows. I'm not sure how many Jeannie's got up there now. I think 8 or 9, where Dr. Tim, where Jeannie, where I literally walk somebody through the whole worksheet process step by step. If you go, I can't understand this, I don't get this, then listen and listen and listen again until you build the brain cells. Your brain has been taught to blame everybody else in the world. Our brains have been wired backward. Yes, at first, forgiveness looks like a backward process. All I ask you to do is take the tool and use it and watch what happens. It's just awesome. So we're delighted you're here to share with us. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us and he's on.
Oh, good. Well, let's say hello to the young man.
Good afternoon.
How do you be, sir?
I'm doing beautifully well, thank you. Just
enjoying the
intro.
I don't know how you can be in afternoon and we're in morning.
It's all a dream.
Ah, okay.
I love the line from the lecture on the Mayan calendar, and in the intro, Ian is talking about the greatest dogma, meaning the greatest unchallenged belief in the world today. And he asks people, so what's the greatest dogma in the world today? And people guess a number of different things, and then he finally says, no, the greatest dogma in the world today is what day it is. Because for thousands of years, different cultures have had their own calendars. And back when somebody named, was it Pope Gregory, decided to make this calendar, and then his culture had more bigger guns and more money, and one by one they went to different cultures and they said, this is our calendar, and you'll accept it or we'll kill you. And so people chose life and gave up their calendar and decided to agree that, okay, we'll call this day and this day and this time and this time. So I don't know how it could be morning here and afternoon there, but it's delightful to be talking with you and sharing this work. And I know how I would feel if that young man had come into one of my groups and said, hey, this stuff works. I went from a level 10 down to a level 2. And the reason I know that is because it happens on a regular basis in our Tuesday support group. So I get to look forward to doing that this evening.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it? And it was kind of funny, too, because the first 4 days that he came to me with, you know, kind of a red face, and I don't want to deal with these things. And then when he came to me on Thursday, there was so much enthusiasm in him that my mind for a second almost mistook it for, oh, there's an attack coming. And it was just like, you know, the floodgates opened, and he just saw and shared that I'm dealing with things today, now, that I've been hiding from myself. He said, the worksheets I touched in today that I thought were about what was happening today, he said, that stuff I've been carrying for 65 years and not wanted to learn.
Well, I just lost Michael.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was my phone, but yeah, he just disappeared.
All right.
So, Michael, if you can hear us, you'll need to call back in.
Well, and what he was saying is that, you know, carrying stuff for 65 years or 55 or 25 years, and it's absolutely true. We all do it. The entire culture has been built on that kind of drama and trauma, and it's just a glorious moment when people choose to put that down and drop the baggage and drop the energy. And I think there's that line from Course in Miracles that says there's no more sacred place on the planet than the place where an ancient hatred becomes a present love.
For sure.
Oh, you're back.
I am. My phone just dropped the call. I'm not sure what happened, but anyway, it was certainly quite exciting to participate. And then a line that I offered him from the Course in Miracles, it says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone, and that millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. You know, someone who has that kind of courage and goes to that level breaks an energetic band that holds back everybody who holds that same issue and begins the space for it to open on the planet. So it's really exciting. Well, anything for you, Dr. Tim? Anything to share?
Well, I'll answer that, but let's hear what Jeannie was saying.
I was just going to say a question was posed in the chat room. What was the purpose of the worksheet to bring the upset level down? And I said, no, the purpose is to get us to look inside at what's behind the projection so we change our reality. And I was just getting ready to type. Oftentimes when I get down to number 6, you know, sometimes I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I feel better. You know, I see this is a repeat pattern. But then sometimes it's like, oh, crap, you know, this is definitely a repeat pattern. I see where I've done this here, and then I get angry with myself and I have to start all over with a new worksheet. And so, no, it's not to bring it down. It's to get you to look inside. And sometimes that takes you to an even deeper level of not so good.
Absolutely. But it's all the same. It's just when you feel the burdens being lifted, when you yield those things up that have been in hiding, it's just such liberty comes. It's just amazing. So go for it, Dr. Tim.
Well, I was listening to one of the lessons in Way of Mastery this morning, and it was talking about how there is only one mind, and we are conditioned to believe that we as an entity, as a soul, as a mind is contained within the body. And so we have some kind of privacy. And that we can go home after a day of work and close the door and then just rant and rave about our boss or our coworkers in complete privacy. And it won't have any effect on anyone or anything. And if, as so many of the spiritual traditions teach us, we're all connected. You know, if Einstein said, if you think you're living separated or separate from anyone or anything, you're living in an optical delusion, then the thought you think is instantaneously out there and travels. Thought travels faster than the speed of light. Thought is instantaneous. And since it's all one mind and all connected, it makes really good sense to start paying attention to what you're choosing to think and realizing that as you put these thoughts out there, isn't it your talk, A New Beginning, where you need to ask, you know, what kind of day you want, and you ask for that kind of day, and then you start giving that day. You're planting the seeds for that energy to come back to you. And this is a process that's always on. It never stops. Every time we choose thoughts, we're planting the seeds for what we will experience tomorrow. So that was my thought for today. It really moved me this morning. I was shifted to understand that at a deeper level that it's just one mind and we're all participating in it.
This week on Monday when we did the workshop on creating consciously, there's a line that I usually put on the board, that's part of the workshop. But this week I was guided to start the workshop out with this thought and build from there. So there's kind of a new beginning in the On Creating Consciously workshop, and that is the first century Aramaic thought in the scriptures that says, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. And that we have not been able to translate that word heart in the Western world until just the last few decades. So what we now know is that that word heart in Aramaic meant the unconscious or the dissociated mind. And so what they were saying was, take care of what you deny and dissociate from. You know, when we talk about somebody else as the cause of what we cause in ourselves, we have to dissociate from cause in ourselves in order to carry out the pretense that it's somebody else. And so take care what you dissociate from, for that becomes the strongest creative energy in your life. And I use the example of a spring. I have a 3-foot diameter spring that stands 3 feet high, and there it sits on the floor. Can that spring do anything? Obviously, it can't do anything just sitting on the floor. But if I push down on it and I lock it and I push down on it and I push down on it, I repeatedly push down on it and lock it, when I let go of the lock, that spring has got a lot of energy stored in it and kapow, off it goes. What I repeatedly deny and dissociate from, you know, and it's been going on for most people for generations. You made me mad. You made me angry. You hurt me. Every time I do that, I'm putting energy into that dissociated content and locking it down. And what I lock down is literally, by definition, an energy. And by definition, energy is motion. Everything that's in motion creates an energy wave. So radiating out from me with a whole lot of power is what I definitely don't want to have happen, what I've dissociated from and don't want to deal with. And since we live in a world of physics, an energetic world, whatever energetic field I'm putting out is what's going to resonate or draw or attract to me exactly what it is that I don't want. Exactly what it is I've been trying to hide from myself. And so there's and this ties into A Course in Miracles, and one of the things A Course in Miracles says is, you can't not create. So your creative process is always happening, as you say, Dr. Kim. It goes on and on. The only choice is it unconscious? Does it happen out of denial and dissociation? Or is it conscious? And when I choose to bring that which is unconscious in me forward in the presence of love, I dissolve it and I'm freed from it. It doesn't matter, as with this gentleman I was speaking about, if the pain goes back 65 years and you've been carrying it in hiding for 65 years. If I choose to bring it forward in the presence of love, it dissolves. And everything changes. My physiology changes. The places in my cellular structure where I've been storing that energy changes. The emotions that come out of that hidden part of my mind change. The perceptions that come from that part of my mind change. The energies that I send out into the world changes. And all of a sudden, a miracle happens. They change. And it's all part of this creative process. So recognizing just how it is that we work, it's awesome to understand the energetic process of creation and the part that we play in it. And so we invite you all to play, and we invite you especially to dig into that worksheet, because what that worksheet does is it opens that dissociated content. It makes sure that you have the active presence of love before you go there, and when the active presence of love is in you and you're able to access what you've been hiding from yourself, whatever you've been hiding begins to automatically dissolve. And that's the idea of the worksheet process, of the forgiveness process. And that's what we're here to support, making available the understanding of those principles and making them available to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. And from the feedback I'm getting from all sources and people that we've worked with, the growth, the acceleration in the understanding of that, you know, Suzanne Tucker was on the show yesterday, and she's sharing it in St. Louis with her parents' groups. And ideas that when she first started teaching them 20 years ago, they were like, you know, it was like going through molasses to try to get people to understand them. And now they're just click, click, click. They're just catching it right out of the chute. And I think that's the result of the decades of work that we and other people have been doing to get us to the place where we live as really true conscious creators in our lives. And that's what we're here to support everybody in doing. And one of the people that's on my mind today, and I don't know whether she's on the show or not, but is Michelle Pache and her husband. I know that they've been having some challenges, that he went in for surgery. And so, Michelle, if you happen to be on the phone, just know that the presence of our love is fully focused in your direction, consciously pointed to you and your husband, that resolution to his health challenges comes, and easily and gently, and any and all issues that are built around that begin to dissolve from your whole family system. So just know, if you're listening, Michelle, that we're here to support you. And also know that today, well, probably Michelle isn't here because I think she's in jail today, as is Rex, has gone to the prison in Ionia. Here's an interesting little story that Michelle shared with me. I don't think it was on the show. So, you know, they're in a level 2 and level 4 super high security prison in Ionia, Michigan. We've been going in there for almost a year now. And last week, the warden sat in. There's something going on here. The warden sat in on the class and participated in the class on punishment and authority. And did we bring this up on the show, or was that a private conversation I've had with people? About Michelle's husband in the hospital? I don't need to repeat it if I brought it up already, but I'm not sure whether it was just in private conversations or on the show.
You did mention it on the show that her husband's roommate at the hospital. Yeah.
Was in the level 5, like top level security prison, and conversations opening. So who knows what's working there and what's happening. So it's exciting to see. And Jeannie, do you have anything happening in the chat room that we need to be aware of, that we can be of support with anybody, and or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Well, the person that was commenting about the worksheet and was it supposed to make you feel better, they now feel better that they aren't supposed to feel better at the end of the worksheet necessarily. And,
there you go.
They'd been beating up on themselves that they apparently weren't doing it right because they didn't feel better at the end of it. But anyway, there is an email that I got that I'd like to share, and then we do have a caller. We had heard from Brenda before, and she's someone who had attended last year at one of the intensives in Florida, and I won't go through the whole story, but she actually had tried to figure out a way of not coming to the intensive even after somebody scholarships paid for her way to go. And she made such huge breakthroughs and then saw so many changes in her life and everything. Well, she sent me an email and said, just wanted to share. She said, please share this on the show. I can't call in today because she's at work. But her relationship with her mother growing up was, her mother was very physically and emotionally abusive. And she had just really had a difficult time. So she says, dear friends, today is the very first Mother's Day that I'm spending with my mother since doing this work. Most of you know my past experiences with my mother and will understand why this is remarkable. I just wanted to share with you the extraordinary shift that has happened to be able to do this from a place of compassion and love. A year ago, this would have seemed completely unattainable. I am grateful for the continued support in this work and love to you all.
And speaking of the continued support, that accolade given to the support group in Lansing, Michigan. And so everybody in Lansing that's part of that group, we're just hearing, you know, shining reports of the energetic shifts and the changes that are happening. The work that's going on there is awesome, and so appreciation to everybody who's moving that forward, and welcome to a new support group as well in Boca Raton, Florida. The Center for Spiritual Living there is now sponsoring the second and fourth Friday of every month, a Mindshifter support group. And it started this Friday. And Margaret, if you happen to be on the show, it would be awesome to hear your voice. Maybe you could share a little bit about the support group on Friday. But I've had two or three people who contacted me, and they said the turnout was awesome and that your explanation of the worksheet was just impeccable. So maybe I can hire you to teach it to me. Go ahead, Jean.
I was just going to say I did get an email from Gus, and he said they had 20-some people there, and so they were real excited that the people had been revived to a new level and that they were willing to do their work. So they were excited about how that was going to turn out. So we do have a caller.
Maybe if before we take the caller, maybe if there's anybody who was there, I know Rashida is usually on the show, and I suspect she was probably there. And maybe somebody just share firsthand a little bit about Margaret's sharing. But let's go ahead and listen to our caller.
Okay. So it's area code 765. You're on the air. Is this Sunny?
Yes, this is Sunny.
Hey there, young lady. How can we support you today? You have a question for us?
Yes. I've been trying to get in queue with this stuff with my daughter, and then I don't know where to go with it, and some time has passed, Michael, and now I'm getting all these other issues in this, like, why is it happening again thing, and then these generational stuff. I don't know where to go at this point.
Here's where to go. If I see a generational behavior or issue coming up, I want to make note right there. You know, that some people talk about this work as a, well, you know, am I supposed to go lie on the couch for 20 years and look for the deep, dark, terrible things that happened to me? No, not at all. I walk forward as the active presence of love. I choose to live, think, feel out of the truth of my being, which is love, And when life approaches me with something that's less than love, that is, life approaches me with, let's say, something like hostility, and that hostility that life is expressing, let's say, for instance, brings up fear in me, then rather than focusing on the hostility that's out there in the world, I look at the fear that's in me, and I do my worksheets around dissolving that fear. So let's say Charlie shows up and Charlie's in a fit of rage, or at least that's how it looks to me. So I start out with Charlie as number 1A, and, you know, it looks to me like Charlie's in rage. How do I feel? Terrified. Gee, how does it look like my life to be terrified? God, I spent the first 10 years of my life and it was nothing else but. So that's going to be a 77 times 70 worksheet issue. So that's my starting point for that one. Life shows up and it's looking sad and forlorn. And I say to myself, I choose to live as love, so life showing up, appearing to me as sad and forlorn, what does that bring up in me? Oh, it brings up hopelessness. Well, this is just hopeless. I'm never going to break through it. Then my worksheet is on, Charlie looked really sad and forlorn. And I've tried to support Charlie in making changes, and I think it's hopeless. Oh, when I think the thought of it being hopeless, what feeling does that bring forward? Oh, it brings forward fear. Okay, so I think I can't change Charlie, therefore it's hopeless, therefore I'm in fear. What's my goal for Charlie? So that would be the way to move through it, is take any stimulus in the world, stop focusing on the world or talking about the world, and come back to myself. What does that bring up in me that I need to remove from my physiology in order to be free of that? And, you know, especially if you're dealing with your own child, the tendency is going to be for your child to be an absolute expert at showing you your 77 times 70 worksheet issues. The ones that you passed on genetically, that you perhaps have given up, that you could ever change those things, and they're the ones that you're going to have to be most committed in walking through and working through step by step by step. Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate you. It's about this work. There is...
Sounds like there's some grief up right now.
Pardon me?
I say it sounds like maybe there's some grief up for you right now.
There's like everything going on at one time again. And it comes back to, without regulatory speech here, Michael, I can see in my daughter with all of her rage that, and she literally is shutting down and won't even communicate fully to her counselor. And I know what she wants. I can, and she's told me. And then it comes back to my prosperity issues.
Stop. Notice that your conversation wants to go and talk about her.
Okay.
My invitation to you is
my generation.
Stop. My invitation to you is to notice you can't change her directly. But when you talk about you, for instance, my daughter won't talk to her counselor. She's shutting down. And I feel, what's that bring up in you? There's the focus of your work. The focus of your work is not your daughter. The focus of your work is what goes on in you. If I'm feeling hopeless because I can't change my daughter's shutting down, my mind's telling me a lie that my hopelessness is about my daughter shutting down. And the truth is, if my daughter appears to be shutting down, then probably my hopelessness is about when I shut down.
That's
and oftentimes when I shut down goes back so far that it's totally and completely unconscious. I can't fathom that this is mine or about me. And so that's when worship takes you back to the core of you and keeps cleaning out your core. The greatest gift you can give your daughter is to stop trying to change her, become the space of love, that is, handle all the issues that she resonates for you, and then you are going to be the most awesome space for bringing her forward out of her pain, because as a parent, when you can shine the active presence of your human life, the active presence of love, on the genetic component in you that's the same as the one in her that's got so much pain in it, you'll be empowered to begin to dissolve it, not only in yourself, but to open the space for her to dissolve it too.
That's where, Michael, I don't know where I have shut down my prosperity, and I have been doing my worksheets on my adequacy and all of these things. I'm not getting it. I don't know where I'm in denial. And it is Hot Seat Central here, and I don't know where I'm at in the worksheet process, and I don't know where to start. And I'm working very, very hard to not be triggered by these things. And it all comes down to my ability to succeed.
Sonny, you can't not be triggered. You can't not be triggered. If it's in there, it's going to come up. If you work hard not to be triggered, then by working hard not to be triggered, you just entered another whole phase of denial and dissociation. You want to be triggered. Welcome being triggered, because it's only when you're triggered that you can see and forgive what you've been hiding inside of yourself. And it sounds like perhaps right now what's up in your face is hopelessness. And so I'd be doing these worksheets on hopelessness. Breathe.
I
want
to reach, Michael, and I know that it's not hopeless. I'm just attempting to get a hold of myself. And I see that, it is like the all hell breaking loose before the healing occurs, and I don't know where to go with it.
So when you don't know where to go with this.
I really don't know if it's, like I said, I thought I was onto a breakthrough with my daughter for her, for me, and seeing this in myself and what my responsibilities were to it, and then all these other things come up that just keep distracting you away from it. It's like, I'm doing some really deep, deep work, and it feels like
they're all components of the healing process. They're all components of the healing process. Remember, healing isn't Dr. Feelgood. And when you don't know where to go with it, that's the time to be still and be quiet. Stop.
I don't know if there's
a mind. Stop. 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 And breathe. Just stop and take a few deep breaths. We'll breathe with you. Let's take a few deep breaths. Go ahead. And it sounds like, keep breathing, stay with it while I speak and keep breathing. It sounds like what you're ready for is the next layer that needs to happen. And maybe the next layer looks like terror.
Yeah.
So know that you are not designed for terror. But if there are thousand generations of your bloodline that have been raised in terror, then that seems like an unavoidable response. As you breathe into it and forgive your terror, you open an energy window in yourself and for your daughter. Why would your daughter shut down with her counselor? Good chance. It's her matching bag of garbage called terror.
Yeah.
And as she breathes, you can start to let loose of those things. And it is a process, and it isn't going to happen overnight. Notice that you've got a whole community of people from all over the world right now that are here breathing with you and holding a space of love for the next piece of work that you need to do. I will hold that space for both you and your daughter.
And I appreciate everyone, anyone who watches what they think they see, it ends up being feeling more like attack instead of support. And I'm just hoping that I am going about the worksheet process correctly myself. Because no, it doesn't always feel good. It keeps me restored in my knowing. And it's like being my child does not understand why the world around me, my child, me, my inner child, is attempting to just watch this movie and hold my innocence so that I don't understand why the world is the way it is and not let it change me. And
time to let go of trying to figure it out. Sounds like you're trying to figure out why the world is the way it is.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can't figure it out. But what you can do is forgive in you your response to it. You can't figure out and you can't change the world. But you can change the content of your mind, which is going to create a different interaction with the world.
Well, yeah, because my worth and my value is priceless, whereas the world is wanting to put a price tag on it and my child. And Torex, they're threatening me with incarceration, which is a part of my generation. And it's about money and an opportunity to heal and still keep performing. It's so much like the old covenant and everything being so conditional. And I know that I'm unconditionally loved. And I try to be unconditionally loved. And all I can do is just keep processing out my generations, which are huge. And I have to say, I know that my child and I will be the first to clean up this mess.
Well, we have the space, and I'll give you some input that I've given to you before. It's probably been a year or so when you had some similar stuff going on. I don't think they've got any debtors' prisons left, so I don't know how they can incarcerate you over money. But, you know, about a year ago we had a conversation about there not being any money flow, and you might want to look at what it is that you benefit, how you benefit from keeping this circle of poverty going. You know, are you using that to draw somebody in for pity or support? And what you might want to do is, like most everybody does, is you have to step outside the door, get a job, and bring some money in. It's a mechanism in this society for bringing money into your household. So you might, I know you've refused that input before, and I'm not sure how that all fits for you, and I don't need to know. I'm just saying that it might be time. Maybe that's the lesson that's knocking on your door, that it might be time to look at the benefit side of being in poverty and keeping yourself there, and to step outside and get a job to bring money into your household so that you've got some cash flow. So
yeah, well,
just leave
that
it aside.
Yeah. It's become part of it without a car at this point too, Michael, and I do work jobs. So when I have them, you know, one of the, and that's part of the generational thing too. And so, are you there?
I'm here, loud and clear.
Okay, another call tried to come in on my phone and it hit up the system. Are you there? Yeah, the job thing, and that's where it's all of the mechanics of everything and getting things turned around, and that's just part of the process, you know.
Well, we hold the space.
And thank you. It's I don't know, in fundamentalist terms, it is time for a huge breakthrough or Boaz. And I am worthy, and I deserve it. So
we hold the space for breakthrough to happen. I know you've been doing a lot of work to produce that result, and you do deserve it. And you know, you never know when that next opening, that next opportunity, is going to open for things to shift totally. But we certainly hold the space for you.
I thank you, Michael. God bless everyone.
All right. Okay, blessings.
You.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we do have another caller. It's area code 561. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. This is Rashida.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thanks. I heard that you mentioned my name about the support group. So, yes, it happened. We met on Friday. And I think we were more than 20 people. It was amazing. It was very, you know, people were open, and we listened to your presentation, and then after that we did a worksheet, and Margaret did a great job walking us through that. And I just felt like I'm there, part of the group, and I'm supporting and just sharing my own, you know, experiences with this worksheet. And so, you know, people who went to workshops before said they were all excited and they participated. I brought my kids too, my teenage girl.
Awesome.
She loved it. She was really impressed, and she's using the work too. And then the little ones, they were playing with other kids, so Johnny's children. So it was really nice. Thank you so much. I'm so excited, and we'll keep it growing, and we'll participate, you know. We have our own group now.
Well, I'm excited and delighted, and I think it's just awesome to have the little kids there, even if they're not paying attention. You know, they've got their coloring or their reading or whatever, even if they go to sleep, building
right.
The brain cells. They're hearing
yes.
It, they're building the brain cells and moving in the energy, and that's so cool.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us that report on it, and thank you to Gus for organizing it,
yes.
And Margaret for
yes.
teaching it. It's just awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. Lots of love and blessings.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. How cool is that? Fabulous. So, Jeannie, what's happening?
We were just a conversation of what Sunny was sharing versus what the person in the chat room was sharing about feeling like they were doing the process wrong when actually all they were doing was going to a deeper level. So that was a little bit of the conversation, and then it shifted some to the world system, the way things work, especially here in the United States, and how capitalism, how people get so far into debt. And then they're always chasing the dollar, trying to get things to change. And I said, yeah, you and I were talking yesterday about school debt and how much it had increased just in the past, like, 20 years. Kids graduate now owing more than most people do on a house. And it's just a vicious cycle that often people fall into.
I actually put a post on our Facebook page today where the comment was about how now the government, as opposed to, for instance, the system in Sweden where everybody goes to school who wants to go to school and there are no fees involved in their education, that it's an investment in the future of the young people especially, and that they support them even in their living expenses, and that in America we spend significantly more on prisons than we're willing to spend on education, and that the government is actually making a profit from people going into debt over going to school. So we put young people in deep, deep debt when they go to school, and we spend billions and billions more to keep people in prisons than it would cost to send them to school and give them the keys to an abundant life in the first place. You know, it's like, it's just the whole game is so crazy, and it's time for us to speak up, take our power back, and, you know, where there are entrenched systems that are all about show me the money, speak up and change them. But, you know, if people won't speak up and change them, that old saying that says all it takes for evil to flourish is for good people to do nothing. And it's time for us to do something. Time for us to do something. In fact, another post that I put on our Facebook page today was the story of a young lady, and her name is coming to me right now. Let me see if I can get to the post. In Germany, during the Nazi takeover there, there was a group of young people who formed a coalition of people who spoke up to the Nazis. And as they spoke up to the Nazis, actually there was a whole group that was executed as a result of it. The title of the page is called A Mighty Girl. Today in Mighty Girl history, one of Germany's most famous anti-Nazi heroes, Sophie Scholl, was born in 1921. As a university student in Munich, Scholl, along with her brother Hans and several friends, formed a nonviolent anti-Nazi resistance group called White Rose. And the upshot of it, without reading the whole story, is that they basically passed out leaflets and spoke up against it. They were picked up and found guilty by that totalitarian government and were killed as a result of it. And, you know, taken to court, a short trial, and within a few hours they were executed. And the final statement that she made was, "How can we expect righteousness to prevail when there is hardly anyone to give himself up individually to a righteous cause? Such a fine sunny day, and I have to go. But what does my death matter if through us thousands of people are awakened and stirred to action?" That's the voice of a 23-year-old girl who stood up. And it's time for people to just step up and speak up. And when we do, with the active presence of love in our hearts and in our minds, we can change the game. You know, it doesn't have to get to the point of such desperation that people are slaughtered by the thousands, which has happened in so many countries and is going on the planet in so many places. It's just going to be heard. And to speak up, having done our own inner work and returned to that connective, active space of love. And forgiveness is the way to do it. And for those who are doing worksheets to go, oh, I'm not doing it right, then your next worksheet is probably on, I have to do everything right. You can't do the reality management worksheet wrong, quote unquote, improperly. There are so many tools in it that if you just do the pieces that you understand, it will change your life. And as you do them, the pieces you do understand, that will build the brain cells. The worksheet is designed in such a way to assist you in building the brain cells for understanding deeply how every tool on that worksheet works. So make your next worksheet. If you're concerned about doing it right, make your next worksheet on self. I have to do everything right. How do I feel? Boo. I'm not good enough. Well, gee, that's not a feeling. That's a thought. My thought is I'm not good enough. What do I feel? Oh, shame. So that would be perhaps the next worksheet to do. And to the website, and there are at least 8 radio shows that Jeannie has. Listen to each of them. They're each a different approach to the worksheet. Different questions come up in each of those shows. Different focus on each of those worksheets as we walk different people through the process. There's one worksheet, I think it's the third post on the radio shows in that section. And the third one is with a gentleman who he can't even stop talking about everybody else's the problem until maybe 10 times. I have to stop in mid-sentence and say, wait a minute, stop. Notice you're talking about everybody else. You're talking about you want to get back inside. So that worksheet really builds brain cells in one way. And then, you know, the infamous worksheet with Magda, and that's the second link, where Magda so graciously brings herself forward, and it is a Hydra worksheet. It builds the brain cells for how what we call the Hydra worksheet works. And if you remember in Greek mythology, the Hydra was the creature that when you cut off her head, several other heads appeared. And so Magda starts out with a single worksheet and ends up with 14 worksheets to do out of that particular show. So each of those radio shows builds more brain cells for how to utilize the process. And believe me, you can't do it wrong. Step by step, it will build the brain cells and lead to bringing it to the next level. And we're finished here. You know, our show is just about over. We're finished in the Tri-Cities area in Washington State, so we're heading down to Portland. Unfortunately, at this point, nothing is scheduled in Portland. We're still talking to a couple of places, seeing if we can at least put together a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for Portland. And so please keep an eye on the website if you're in the Portland area. We're hoping to do something there. Otherwise, we'll be in Portland for 10 days, and then we'll be heading to Knoxville, Tennessee. And Jeannie has a women's workshop set up. We're looking at scheduling some things with Dale Allen Hoffman in Asheville, North Carolina. So keep an eye on the schedule, see what happens. And if you're ready for an intensive, time to look at the schedule and get set up for this summer. We'll start on July the 7th with the 10-day Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Program and move into our intensives. In the meantime, give the world the best gift you can, the best year yet of your eternal life. We appreciate you a lot. Thanks. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. MindShiftersRadio.com.